I'd like to read in the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah, that's page 1108 in my Bible, and chapter 1. And the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of Jehovah. And Jehovah sent out a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest upon the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid, and cried every one unto his God, and they cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to be lightened of them. But Jonah had gone down into the lower part of the ship, and he lay, and was fast asleep. And the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Perhaps God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said each one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. And they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear Jehovah, the God of the heavens, who made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, What is this thou hast done? For the men knew that he had fled from the presence of Jehovah, for he had told them. And they said unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up, and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that because of me this great tempest is upon you. But the men rowed hard to regain the land, and they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. And they cried unto Jehovah and said, O Jehovah, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and let not upon us innocent blood, for thou, Jehovah, hast done as it pleased thee. And they took up Jonah, and they cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. And the men feared Jehovah exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto Jehovah, and made vows. And Jehovah prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. And in chapter 2, and verse 10, and Jehovah commanded the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of Jehovah came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, the great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I shall bid thee. And Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of Jehovah. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, a 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And the men of Nineveh believed God, and proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. I've had it on my mind for some while to speak about Jonah tonight. I was a bit worried about it, because how do you preach the gospel from Jonah? Is the gospel simple, really? In my Bible, I occasionally put little bits of paper in. I put some piece of paper in some 2 or 3 years ago, and it fell out. I was just looking at it. I hadn't noticed it was there. And I thought, that's the whole gospel in just a few words. I kept it because it was about a pilot. I work in the aircraft industry. I'm interested in people that fly. There's an American pilot flying in this country. He was a rescue pilot, helicopter rescue pilot. And he lost his life in Suffolk just 2 or 3 years ago. His helicopter crashed. And he was a believer. But the motto of the squadron he flew for was called That Others Might Live. He was a very brave man. He'd flown in Afghanistan, Iraq. But the motto, their motto, which is what they live by, was That Others Might Live. And I thought, you know, that's about men. The gospel's about Jesus. Jesus gave his life that others might live. And those others are as everyone in this room, without exception. Everyone, God's hands are outstretched in blessing to everyone here. That's the gospel. But Jonah, why Jonah? What do you know about Jonah? If I ask you about Jonah, what would you say about Jonah? People in the world say, oh, cheerful Jonah, and perhaps doesn't have a good name in the world, that Jonah, the Lord Jesus spoke about Jonah to the Pharisees. So we can speak about Jonah in the gospel. The Lord Jesus used the history of Jonah. And the Lord Jesus said something else about Jonah. The Lord Jesus is infinitely greater than Jonah. The gospel isn't about Jonah, it's about Jesus. But we can illustrate it through the history of Jonah. First thing you need to know about Jonah is his name means dove. And you know, the dove in the Bible speaks of peace. And the gospel is about peace. It's about you having a settled peace in your heart with God. And you can come to a settled peace through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. You can know what it is to be absolutely free. You can know what the Bible speaks about, a peace which surpasses understanding. One that you can't rationalise, you can't write down and explain. You just know you've got it. Do you know you've got that peace? Is there someone in here who's worried about something? There's a man at work who came to me a year ago, and he committed a grievous sin 12 years ago, and he says, not a day goes past when I don't regret it. If your mind and heart is full of regrets, the gospel is for you. The gospel of God's grace. And first thing to know about the gospel is the message of peace. How much this world needs peace. How much our country needs peace. The country in which we live. People arguing with each other. People hurting each other. How much they need peace. There will be no true peace in Britain or the rest of the world until the Prince of Peace comes. That's Jesus. He'll come and he'll reign. And he'll reign in righteousness. And there'll be wonderful peace. And God will see to it that his name is acknowledged. But tonight, the chance is for you and I, to come to that settled peace with God. And you know what Jonah did? Jonah, the word of God came to Jonah. The word of God might come to you in all kinds of ways. It might come through a gospel preaching. It might come through something you see or read. It may come to you in the middle of the night where God might speak to you. I read a book about, and some of you have no doubt read it, about a criminal called Fred Lemon. God spoke to him just in his cell where he was in Dartmoor. God is not limited in how he might speak to you. I wonder if God is speaking to you. Maybe through circumstance. Maybe through what someone said. Maybe you've dismissed it because you didn't like the person that told you. There are people like that in the Bible, you know. Didn't like the message. Who was giving the message? Wanted it from someone different. When Paul preached the gospel in Athens, they said, what will this chatterer say? They weren't impressed by him. They wanted someone who was sort of eloquent and a great philosopher. Maybe you're like that. Maybe you want to hear the gospel from some great preacher, and then you'd listen. God may be speaking to you. God may not speak to you again. This might well be the last time. How sobering it was for me to come along the road from my brother-in-law's house and go past a place where 11 people lost their life in an instant on a quiet, nice, sunny Saturday afternoon. It may be the last time. The gospel is not to frighten us, but to bring consciousness of the immediacy of the need to find settled peace with God. And you'll only find that through Jesus. Well, Jonah, he had a word from God, and he didn't like it, and he ran away. I wonder if anyone in this room is thinking of running away. Anyone who thinks, you know, I know about God. Jonah knew that God was merciful and he knew of great loving kindness. He knew quite a few things about God. But God asked him to go and give a message and he didn't want to do that. And God is asking you to repent tonight. And you might know that deep down that God is love, yeah, I know that. But also God is light. God is absolutely righteous. And that requires me to repent, to come into blessing. A change of mind, not just saying you're sorry, but a complete change of heart. But Jonah, he was told to go and preach to Nineveh. And you know, the gospel tonight, you might say this is 2,800 years ago. What's it got to do with us today? Very much, dear friends. Nineveh is next to is what is called modern Mosul in Iraq. And the people that are running that city tonight are as evil as the people in this day of when Jonah was asked to go and preach. It's run by a group of people called ISIS, who are terrible people, committing fearful crimes. The gospel is for them too. God's grace is not limited by the evilness of the people. You think of how the gospel was preached to Saul. Think of what he'd done. When people were put to death, he gave his vote. You think of that. You think of him holding the clothes while people stoned and put Stephen to death. What terrible sins he was associated with. But mercy was shown him. And mercy can be shown you, whatever you've done. And it can be shown to the people of Iraq tonight and the people that live in Mosul. Jonah was told to go. Their wickedness, God takes account of it. None of it is missed out. The eyes of the Lord rove to and fro, beholding the evil and the good. Nothing is missed out, dear friend. Don't think anything in Worthing that's been done tonight is missed by God. It's not. But God, and you're amazed at the grace of God that he sees all this evil, and yet he's still pleading with men tonight. And he's pleading with you. Whatever you've done, whatever you've sort of got in your conscience from the past, God is pleading with you. Pleading with you to come now, as the Bible says, come now, let us reason together. Amazing thing, the Almighty God should want to talk to you and I. Well, Jonah, he decided to head off. Now, some people, Bible commentaries say Tarshish might have been in Spain. I've read some people say it might have been in southern India. In one sense, it doesn't matter. He headed off in completely the other direction. And he went on a ship as far, probably in the known world then, as he could go. And maybe you like that. Maybe you flee in the presence of God, God speaking to you, and you're going as far as you can go. You see, there was a man in Luke 15, you see, he asked for the what was due to him. It was like asking for his father to be dead, because inheritance came when a father or parent died. He said, I want my inheritance now. What a terrible thing. What hatred he must have had towards his father. He just wanted to, he was selfish. He just wanted to have a great time. And he took it and he went off and he dissipated everything and he lived in debauchery and then he began to become hungry. And you'll see the parallel with Jonah. He went down and he went down to Tarshish and then he went down into the ship and then he went down into the depths of the ship. Grab a chair. I was just reading from Jonah, Book of Jonah. And so he fled and he rose up and he fled and he wanted to get as far away from God speaking as possible. And he found a ship. Dear friend, you will find a ship. If you're trying to get away, Satan will provide every opportunity for you to escape from the presence of God. He will. He'll provide a ship. And he paid a fare. dear friend, don't pay a fare. Don't pay what the world demands of you. The world will strip you of everything. And if you don't believe me, you know, you might live a relatively comfortable life and you might be secure where you are. The world will want to take everything. Where I come from in Birmingham, I've seen a few drug addicts who've come in to our meeting room. And one of them, very persistent, sounded very plausible. And I was quite taken in with him. And everything's been stripped from him, you know. He's lost his family. He's lost his dignity, in my view. And another man came in the other last year. And he came in, a man also had been, I think, on drugs, and he tried to take his life. Satan will try and take everything from you. Mm-hmm. Everything. He wants to take your life. He wants to make sure you go to hell. What a terrible place hell is. The Lord Jesus spoke of it. The gnashing of teeth. Eternal regret. Don't let the moment pass. And he went into the ship, you see. Jonah went into the ship and he went down to the depths of the ship. And he was asleep. How many people have fallen asleep in gospel preaching? I've fallen asleep many times. I've fallen asleep when God was speaking to me. I didn't want to hear it. Dear friend, don't let the moment pass. I urge you. I urge you. There just isn't a promise of tomorrow. There isn't. We don't know what a day will bring forth. I don't want to speak about myself, but my brother rang up and he said to me just the other week, he said, I've got cancer of the kidney. I think of my brother, I think of him, you know, strong man. You don't know what a day will bring forth, dear friend. Do not let the moment pass. God may in his mercy speak to you again, but there is no promise. There is no promise. When Jonah went to preach, he said, yeah, 40 days. How gracious God is that he gave him 40 days. How gracious he was even with a man like Belshazzar, who was a profane man. A profane man, a man who made the things of God common. This night, he was given time. It was that night he was, that night his city was overrun. He was given a moment. The fool that built up his, the farmer who built up and built, pulled down his barns and built greater, this night. He was given a little time. And you and I have been given a little time. I thank God that God has been patient with me. He waited. The hymn writer said, now in patient grace. It's patient grace. God's waited for us. And if you're a believer in Jesus, pray for the people of Britain that they might have a chance to repent as well before it's too late. Because one day it will be too late. The door will be closed and there won't be another gospel. There won't be a gospel. It will be too late. And in death, it's fixed. Sometimes you hear about people saying, praying for the dead. It's too late then, dear friend. The chasm is fixed. We're given a curtain drawn back to see what it's like beyond death. Man in torment. Chasm is fixed. An unbreachable chasm. Do not let the moment pass. And Jonah, you know, he went down and he went into the depths of the ship and he was fast asleep. And these men, because of his folly, they were put in danger. And they went to call him up. And these men, you know, they're great men in Jonah. We think the scripture is all about Jonah, but it's a wonderful thing to think about these men. How they went from being people that didn't know anything about God, and God gave them the wisdom and the insight to see what the problem was. Arise, call upon thy God. If there's nothing you remember from tonight, remember that. Arise, call upon thy God. It is a moment to call upon God. Call upon him. Call upon him. You can look at the work of Jesus, the one who was once lifted up to die between heaven and earth. Praise be his name. God is satisfied with Jesus. We are satisfied as well. That's what the hymn writer said. Is that true of you? I know it's true for myself. I'm satisfied that the Lord has died for me, satisfied in everything he's done. I wish I wasn't such a sinner, but I'm satisfied. I can rely on that, not on myself. Nothing, the hymn writer said, nothing in my hand I bring. There is nothing you can bring to satisfy God. What you can do is trust in Jesus and his precious shed blood. Well, Jonah, his men said, they found out that it was Jonah. And he said to them, they said to them, what people art thou? And he said to them, I am a Hebrew and I fear Jehovah. Well, it's a wonderful thing to know who God is and to respect him and have awe of him. And every Christian has a fear of God, not to be frightened of him, but an awe and a respect for him and his greatness. But how close our Creator, who's given us the breath of life, has come to us in the person of Jesus. The person who drew alongside the man that was a leprous man and a man that was blind, a man that was cast out, a man that was almost deranged. How gentle Jesus was. How close he's drawn to us in the person of the Son. God's love, if we want to see, understand God's love, we can read the Gospels and read the life and work of Jesus. But most of all, we look to the cross. Hymn writer said, it's a wonderful hymn, hymn 212, he says, oh, the cross of Christ is wondrous. There I learn God's heart to me. If I want to know what God's like, I look to the cross. I learn God's heart. That's God's heart. That's God's love. God didn't spare his only son that you and I should be free. You, dear friend, God knows your name. You're not in a world with 7 billion people that just one in a number. That's how the world treats people. God knows your name, and he sent his son for you, and the Lord knows your name, and he wants more than anything for you to be in his company, and to know his love and affection, and have the hope in your heart of one day seeing him. Mm-hmm. Well, Jonah didn't lack courage. Who would ask to be cast into the sea? Mm-hmm. Started to come to himself, you know. He cast into the sea that these other men might be saved. Mm-hmm. You know, the story of Jonah isn't a fable. Mm-hmm. It's history. Mm-hmm. He's cast into the sea, and God prepared a great fish. And the fish swallowed him up, and you might think, well, that sounds a bit of a story. Interestingly enough, there was a man in the 19th century off the Falkland Islands who was swallowed by a whale. And the whale had been harpooned, eventually got it on the deck, and they cut it open. The man was found inside, and his skin would change colour for the rest of his life. Well, I wonder about Jonah when he went to preach, when he came out, when he was, as the scripture says, God commanded the fish and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. But in between is his prayer, these wonderful words of Jonah. Jonah prayed. Mm-hmm. The beginning of blessing is to speak to God and tell him about how you feel, about your desire for blessing. He says, the deep was round about me, the weeds were wrapped about my head. How low he went. He went to the bottom of the ocean. And what a picture that is of our Saviour, Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. He went into death. I can scarcely imagine it. The person that gave every one of us life. And he put the planets in their setting. And he made the seeds to grow. And he gives blessing every day. He actually went into death. Mm-hmm. He lay in death, the originator of life. Mm-hmm. Why did he do that? Because he loved you. Because you're precious to him. You're not just any old person, you're precious to him. He lay in death. And then he broke the power of death and came forth. I am the resurrection and the life. Mm-hmm. You know, when you come across death, it's a great comfort to know the words of Jesus. They're real. You can rely on them utterly. Jonah went to the bottom of the ocean, and we have this wonderful poetic description of what it was like to actually lie in death. And then he came forth and he preached. And the gospel is preached from a risen Jesus. He's in the glory. And he's coming. He might come tonight. And the gospel is preached. And Jonah went and he preached the gospel. And these terrible people, they were terrible. God says, he says, their wickedness has come up before me. Nineveh was probably the biggest city, the greatest city in the world. Some people believe there was about 600,000 people lived there. It was a big place. And you think of Jonah going and preaching to these people who could have taken his life. It wasn't physical courage that took him there. It's the power of God's word. And he went up and he preached, and the most amazing thing happened. They all repented, from the greatest of them, even to the least. The gospel is for everyone. It's not for good people or bad people or rich people or small people or young people or old people. It's for everyone. And that includes everyone in this room. And it includes whoever might be listening outside. It's for everyone. I only say that, Thomas, because a man once came to the Lord through listening through the window. Gospel's for everyone. Don't despise God's grace. Don't be negligent of so great salvation. No preacher can speak of the greatness of the things of Jesus and do justice to them. But they are wonderful. I've heard, over the years, I've been privileged to hear hundreds and hundreds of gospel preachings. And no two have been the same. Because we can't exhaust who Jesus is. The wonderful hymn writer who wrote a hymn, and we sing hymns and sometimes don't. If you're like me, I haven't always read the words. You know, I'll get maybe carried away with the melody and how nice it is. Hymn writer said, and I'll tell you who it was, because I think it was Isaac Watts. He said, Isaac Watts wrote some wonderful hymns, and you all know one of his hymns, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." He wrote this other hymn: "Join all the glorious names of wisdom, love and power that mortals ever knew, that angels ever bore. All are too mean to speak his worth, too mean to set the Saviour forth." Sometimes when we come together for praise and worship, we sing a hymn that says, beyond all praise of tongue or pen. You think of all the things that have been written and all the things that have been said over 2,000 years about the Lord Jesus. And all of them, however much has been said, if you added them all up, he's greater than all of those things. How great Jesus is, but how lowly he's come and how close to you and I. He seeks to be your friend for life's journey. Whatever time might be left to any one of us, he seeks to draw alongside. And this wonderful promise that we mentioned yesterday, at the end of Matthew's Gospel, the last verse of Matthew's Gospel, you don't have to remember the chapter or the verse, it's just right at the end of Matthew's Gospel. Behold, I am with you all the days, until the completion of the age. What a wonderful promise. No one in this world can give you a promise like that. You will not find anyone. Politicians can promise you something for 5 years or 10 minutes or something, and they'll fall away from all of them. That's a promise you can absolutely rely on. When it's difficult, when it's well. I'm with you all the days. Not some of the days. Not when you're bright. Not when you love the Saviour. When you're gloomy and you're down and when things are difficult, I'm with you. I'm with you all the days. So he preached and they repented. The greatest of them, even to the least of them. But you know, I'm going to finish very shortly. Jonah really didn't understand grace. He was cross. Why was he cross? Because the people of Nineveh were seen by him as an enemy. Why would God bless such people? God wants to bless even the most, the person that you dislike or even hate the most. Christians shouldn't hate anyone, but there might be people that have done you wrong, people that you can't imagine being blessed. There's a wonderful book, you know, a short book by American pastor that administered to the condemned men in Nuremberg, and some of them came to the Lord, men with terrible blood on their hands. Hard to understand. How could God bless people that had been so evil and caused so much misery and caused so much death? And writer says, O God of grace, he says, we'll get the hymn right. O God, thy grace no limit knows. No limit. There is no limit to God's grace. If you think there's something that you have done that is beyond God's grace, look to the cross. God is satisfied with what Jesus has done. He's looked on it and he's satisfied. The people of Nineveh, they repented. They changed their ways. And they were, God bless them. But dear friend, there isn't a town of Nineveh today. So while Mosul in Iraq is on the other side of the river, Nineveh is ruins. And Nineveh, a little while later in the scripture, and you can read that in the prophet Nahum, was overthrown. There was a generation that repented. There was a moment when the gospel, as you might say, message from God was given, and people responded to it. I trust everyone here, without exception, has responded to God's message. Because there's no promise that they'll be preaching in Worthing next week, let alone in a generation's time. God's pleading with you. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you in his Son. He wants to make you like his Son. A miracle of his grace, that one day that we should be like his Son. I trust you've come into the blessing. I trust you're not running away. And if you're running away, just stop. Turn towards God and you'll find that while you might have run a long way away, he's right there. Because that's what happened in Luke 15. The son had a big story and a statement ready. And as he turned back, he found that the father had run out towards him. And he was embraced and covered with kisses. The warmth of God's love is something that many in this room can speak about and can testify to. But if you haven't experienced it, you're missing out on something absolutely wonderful. love of God as shown in Christ Jesus our Lord is wonderful. May you embrace that blessing tonight for his name's sake.
Amen.